Sun headlines.
Ahoy! Ahoy!
Red Sox working out in Fort Myers. Getting ready for the 2018 season. Mookie Betts focused. Laser focus.
I've enjoyed, you know, my time here for sure. Now that 2018 is here, I can focus on, you know, this calendar year. And then next year we kind of focus there. But right now I'm just worried about 2018.
Oh, he's talking about his contract. All right. First game will be an exhibition against Northeastern coming up on Thursday afternoon. NBA All-Star Weekend gets going tonight. It is the, what do we call this? The Future Stars game? Rising Stars game. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both representing the Celtics tonight for Team USA. Meanwhile, the Bruins heading out for Vancouver, where they will take on the Canucks tomorrow night. That's going to be a late one as they begin.
If they take that security guard with them.
A West Coast road trip. Marchand liked that security guard. He said he enjoys those guys being around. He needs them from time to time. Headlines are brought to you by Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josepharussomd.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Missed something? Be sure to like us on Facebook for great moments from the shows and breaking sports news. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Got out of town on a boat on the southern islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading line of the Marquesas.
Hour number two.
Makes you want to buy a boat.
Oh, boy.
Those YouTube videos are something.
They are, man. Oh, gosh.
3 minute, 10 second mark, huh?
Yeah. The fact he knows the time on the videos.
Like 3:18 is when the explosion happens. Yeah.
Things go kaboom.
I know, but you need a little build up.
Build up.
Yeah.
I see on Twitter that Zoe promised Patriots talk today.
Yeah.
Football talk.
Yep.
What do you have on that?
Nothing. Kidding. Here's the thing for me. We talk about the offense being back, and I thought about this last night.
Right.
And there's some good stuff on the receivers. Like, is there any guarantees that Danny Amendola will be back? What's the condition of Malcolm Mitchell's knee going to be? Is this thing chronic? Is he done as a player? I've heard that, too. Like, end of the year, it was trending to where we were going to get this guy back. Now, all of a sudden, he may not really be able to play. What do you do with Deion Lewis as free agency approaches? See, we know Gronkowski, Edelman, I'm putting Amendola in there that he'll be back. Hogan, Cooks, those guys are all back. Your offensive line, pretty much intact. We got to get Solder done, though. They got to figure out a way to convince Solder to play another year. Who's your marquee running back?
So Amendola's retiring. No, Amendola's leaving, Solder's retiring, and Lewis is gone?
Is that your take?
That's sort of the way it looks right now.
Why do you think Amendola's leaving?
I don't. I think he should
stay.
Like,
of all the guys that won't leave.
No, but
he could have left every year for the last 3 years and didn't.
See, there's articles out there of how the Pats need to clear cap space to get Brady still done and these other people, and if you're going to attack free agency and go about it the way you want and take care of some of your guys. And I'm looking at him like, well, why all of a sudden do we just assume Deion Lewis is gone? James White got a nice extension last year. I'm ready to say, hey, Gillislee and Burkhead, I've seen enough with those two. I'm good there. My main take as far as who you address going into free agency here is I want to see Deion Lewis back here. And what's the monetary value they're going to be for that contract? I was hearing 3 for $18, $6 million a year. I think Howell had something like that a week ago. Like that's the jump off point for Deion Lewis. Tell me what other team's going to come in and say, I'm going to give that guy $6 million. Like we're on the verge here of the tag deadline. When that thing hits, what is Pittsburgh going to do with Le'Veon Bell? The type of money that guy. I'm not saying Deion Lewis and Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell's best back
good.
In the league.
Okay, well, that's appropriate.
Well, what's the money? What's the ceiling for Deion Lewis for you as a Patriot?
In free agency?
Sure.
What could he get in free agency?
What is a team? What team out there at his size looking at him saying, you know, we can give you what that we can
I don't
give
know,
the opportunity
man.
New
he's
England
got a he's got an injury history that I am very afraid of.
Is this going to be one of those markets where he thinks he's going to get more and go out and test it? And you're going to be able to come back and you're going to have, it's like Edelman all
yes.
over again.
Yes.
Or they told Edelman go test the market.
Come back.
Boom. Yeah, I'm starting to think that. People think he's as good as gone. I don't think that because of his diminutive size and the type of role players that New England has, that has taken pressure off him. Any amount of backs they've had.
Is Deion Lewis irreplaceable?
I don't know, because you look at the Jacksonville game, he didn't elevate over those linebackers. You know, I mean, we've seen Deion so many times out in space make other guys miss, but then you get against those really good defenses.
He's a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player.
No,
I just
right. But
sorry,
I'm saying
I don't think he's irreplaceable.
When you get a fast, good defense, I don't know if, you know, the $6 million per for that guy resonates. He didn't make Jacksonville miss.
Resonates as
that scares
he's
me.
Not worth it when he can't do it against the best defenses.
That's where you need him to be different. You see what I'm saying? You go against Jacksonville, and we're having trouble separating, getting open on the outside of the perimeter. We need to get the ball to the backs, and you need to make those linebackers miss. Not DBs, not corners, linebackers. And he couldn't do that. And credit Jacksonville. You know, they're picking in top 10 a lot. So you're going to get good guys up there. Their backers are fast. So that scared me a little bit. And then tell me what in the Super Bowl happened.
Do you think the Patriots are going to be eager to sign him? I think they'd like to have him.
I think they're going to be in
I don't
position.
Think they're going to make him a priority.
No, I don't think they make any running back a priority. And I really like Deion Lewis.
And they shouldn't, by the way.
It kills me. Every time it happens with a player that you see a spark from, I mean, you go back, pick a point in time, and there's going to be a running back that had a few good games or a good stretch or even an entire good season. And you don't have to go all the way back to Corey Dillon and Belichick and, oh, what, 1,600 yards, Corey Dillon, that'd be nice. No, it doesn't have to be that type of standout season. But, you know, LeGarrette Blount is the one guy that I thought, man, I thought they could really, you know, do something with him and hold on to him. No, it's replaceable. No, I thought Jonas Gray was the next big thing. Like, no, give us 4 touchdowns, and then we're going to sit your ass down. You're pretty much never going to play again.
Never play again in the league.
Yeah, it's like they just
right.
But they, see, but, they utilize these guys, and I really like Deion Lewis when Tom Brady has the option of throwing him the ball, those quick routes underneath.
Yeah, but that's what you have to understand.
If he goes to another system where he's got a quarterback that can deliver the ball to him in a variety of ways, sure, great, he'll be awesome.
But hold on.
Is that going to happen?
But what if he can't? What if he's going to play for a team where you're playing with the 27th or 28th ranked quarterback in the league?
Then he
has the ability to get in a huddle. He's one of 11 guys where you have the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, the greatest tight end to ever play the game, an offensive line that blocks it, and you have a coordinator who has a complicated offense that could strain a defense and stretch people out. Like, he's in the huddle with James Devlin. All of a sudden at the snap, they're going empty. And it benefits him because they're going to take him and put him on the 4th, 5th, 6th defender, and you're going to expose the defense. What other team can do that? See, that's a thing. And if you know, like, we can't really give him the ball 20 to 25 times a game because his size isn't going to hold up. You might have a chance to get this guy back at a better contract than what you think you're going to have to overpay him for. That's my point.
Assuming
a lot of people, and I think a lot of people are, the way I'm talking to people, 70% of people think this guy's good as gone. I don't.
Because you don't believe the market is going to be as strong as some people believe it's going to be.
I don't. And I think there has been a good... Hey, running backs have been important to the league now all of a sudden. You know, it seems like he went away from it, but the position is back.
617-779-0985. Some other Patriots thoughts. Something on Josh McDaniels that I think we can get to. Peter King has a take on that. We will do that. Get to more of your calls as well here on this Friday.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the midday.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's one thing in my life that's missing. It's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool.
617-779-0985.
I like this song.
God, I like Little River Band. Lots of those
friendly people. Peter King.
It's top three. Like, if you had a yacht rock playlist, what Peter King say?
Peter King was on PFT Live today.
Another loaded hot.
Florio. That's Florio's show, is it not?
Like Florio. I go on Florio's show all the time. Yeah. I like Florio.
And so if you were listening to that, you had to sit through an interview with Peter King. But this one item did stand out to me. See, it's really not that different over there today with Peter King's on the air again.
I wonder why it stood out to you.
Because it proves my point, and it's another person that agrees with me, and it's not coming from some hot taker or heartless soul. I mean, you could not find a more nicer guy than Peter King. I mean, too nice. That's his problem. Talking about Josh McDaniels. This had nothing to do with family, King said. It was about the Patriots giving him a better option than Indianapolis.
Thank you, Peter King.
I feel some level of validation.
You know it. You know when you're making a decision
when
that
a guy
doesn't
who is
feel right.
The
right?
opposite of hot takes
yeah.
says it. That's all. Just thought that was worth pointing out. There was that and then this. Ray Ventrone?
Yeah.
On the move?
Interesting. Going to Indy.
That is odd, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that odd? Because I find that a little strange.
Well, I mean, you become the head special teams coach there. That's a good career move for him because it's a bump north because Joe Judge is staying and you're an understudy here.
Right. I mean, Ray Ventrone, who has a long history here.
That's your next step, man. That's your next step.
History as a player, and then also last three seasons, he was the assistant special teams guy.
Dude, that could be a difference of $70,000 to that guy.
No. I'm not talking about the money. It's an obvious upgrade for him. It's the right career move to take a special teams coaching job as opposed to being an assistant. I just thought that maybe, you know, you'd see him land with another team that has ties back to the tree.
Yeah, and see, you know, the stink of New England from a Indy perspective, right? You've just been scorned by Josh McDaniels. Now all of a sudden you're going to go hire a special teams coach from New England.
So if you were the Patriots and you're Bill and you get Josh McDaniels back and they call and ask about Ray Ventrone, at that point, don't you say, yeah, you know what, Ray, that's a good opportunity for you.
It is, yeah.
You should go. You should go.
Look at Bill, too. I mean,
trying to, like, make nice after the fact that they pulled McDaniels back.
And I think this extends Bill, too, that the fact that, okay, McDaniels is back, meaning extends Bill, it's where it's not one and done for him next year. A lot of people think that. I think it's two and more. You get Judge back, Scar's back. Scar turned 70 yesterday. So you still have coaches that are returning, you know.
Scar confirmed to be back?
I'd talk to Scar. Scar's coming back. He likes the way they look next year.
That sounds like a piece of news that nobody else has.
I'm not breaking anything.
You are breaking something. You just said, I talked to Scar. Scar's coming back.
I talked to Scar postgame.
Okay. Doesn't matter when you talk to him.
Because it's like, you know, hey, you got to make a decision with Solder. You know, and Nate needs to figure out what he wants to do. But I think it's open. They want Nate back.
Of course they do.
But like, you know,
they don't want to have
great.
To go into this offseason trying to also replace a left tackle.
Your backside tackle. Like, they don't want to flip Camp Fleming over there?
They want Nate back.
No. And I think, because you know, Cannon's good. He's healthy now. He's pissed he had that surgery done on his ankle. So, the line's going to be pretty intact next year. I think they're going to be able to get Solder back, too. And I think the fact that you have his son going through what his son is going through.
Right. So I would just say, Lexi, if you're listening, tell Nate.
Hi, buddy.
Come back. Need Nate back.
Yeah. She listens to the show all the time.
Yeah, I know.
So he might come back for family reasons?
Yes.
You think so?
Well, I think he's still going to get paid nicely.
Oh, well, yeah. But
is it worth going to another team? Right.
Oh, he's not going to another team. Yeah, I don't think he would do that.
But you have your son. His son stays with his doctors here and all the help that they're getting, you know, and that's a big part of it, man. And he's made a lot of money in this league already. Now it's about, you know, I like the situation here, and I'm sure they give him days where he needs days. And, you know, he's earned that. He's earned that respect. And, you know, he's a great leader now for him.
He had a great Super Bowl.
He played great in that game.
Really
man.
Did. He had a great Super Bowl. Much better than a year ago.
Yep.
A great game.
Well, against what I would call a better front.
Told him that, too.
Yeah.
I think he told me to go bleep myself.
Pretty much, huh?
It was a funny conversation.
Yeah, it was good.
We were having a few laughs.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So come back. Nate, come back. Let's go. Do it again. Football. Ready? Break. Go. Yeah, they don't want to be replacing their left tackle, but Skarnecchia coming back is huge.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Didn't seem like a swan song send-off again, like a second retirement. Just get some time away now and then come back, chop it at the bit to get back to work.
Brian's in Dorchester has a thought on running backs as it relates to Deion Lewis. What do you got, Brian?
Hi, I think if you guys are talking about the team might not want to pay Deion Lewis what he think he might be worth, if they could get Sony Michel out of a draft out of Georgia, he's been very impressive.
Very early for these names. I'll stick with your general point, though. Draft some running backs.
Well, I can tell you, Sony, he was a backup to Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb his entire career, and I think because of that, he may have flown under the radar a little bit, but he is really good.
All right, Sosie will have the draft show coming back in April and May.
He's going to be the second back drafted.
Okay, you're pushing that call off for 3 months.
Yeah, it feels like he's not going to be there when the Patriots are drafting.
Oh no, he might be second round. He might only be one. It depends on how they do the combine, how they run. But
right.
I thought McCaffrey was a late first-round pick until the combine, then he was the eighth pick all of a sudden.
I thought that the Patriots were going to be drafting some backs last year. I thought they were going to actually use more than four picks and maybe address the running back position because they've kind of had these years. Like, they drafted Moroni,
right.
Then they drafted Ridley and Vereen for the next stage, right. And then they never really did that again.
Right.
They never, re-upped.
Last year was an odd year because they've gone out and they went and acquired, Gillislee and Burkhead. They spent some money for free agents, which is not like them. Yeah.
Burkhead, good player, but the knock on him has always been his injury problems, which came up again this year. Gillislee is a strange one. He was not the same player here that he was in Buffalo.
He didn't fit.
I don't know what it was.
Never fit from day one. He was injured and, got behind the eight ball. I don't know. Yeah. Then you don't feel like you're part of it. That's tough. It's tough to be not active and, attack it the same way each and every week.
He was more of a change of pace to LeSean McCoy, though.
You're right.
He's not the first downback, he's the change of pace guy.
He was your angry downhill runner, right? Thumper.
But in terms of how he ran, you never saw those bursts here that you saw when he was in Buffalo.
Yeah, where he turned a corner.
Yeah. Right? When he got outside and turned that corner, man, he was coming downhill.
Yes, sir.
Never really saw that from him here.
Not.
Didn't really get that out of him. Jungalo has a Malcolm Butler thought. Jungalo.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, so I got, I guess there's three reasons, possible reasons why Butler didn't play. A, he was too sick. B, Belichick didn't think he was up to the task. Or C, he sat him down because he didn't sign the contract. So, Zoe, my question to you is, which one of those reasons do you think Butler didn't play?
Well, you've been locked up for the last 2 weeks? Where's he been?
Do I only get to pick from those three?
Those three.
It's nothing to do with the contract. Because what do you get? Hey, is a contract on game day? Sign it, you're not playing? He wasn't too sick because he came with the team, practiced, end of the week. So I'd have to go with B. Until he was up to the task. Remember? Football move. Remember? Package. Packages. Working on certain packages.
Packages.
Those packages work out. Yeah. I'm going to go with B. Did we thank him for a song, even though it came in 4 days late? We did.
Well, I think you thanked him publicly.
Yeah.
John in Abington has a basketball thought. We'll accept it. John?
John!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
I had a question about the Celtics. I know you guys are talking Patriots.
That's
right
okay.
Now.
What do you got?
But did you guys watch the whole Pierce retirement ceremony?
Absolutely. 100%.
All right, good, because I loved the whole thing. And Felger and Maz sounded like they got sick of it because they turned it off early. But,
You know what they got for that stuff? They got about a 5-minute time span to where at that point they check out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that. But anyways.
Old and cranky.
I mean, if that's your thought that you loved it, I watched the entire thing because I love Paul Pierce.
It was long.
I didn't think it was all that great. I mean, there was nothing.
Felt a little, I don't want to say.
A little dry, a little stale.
I don't want to say seemed a little Red Soxian. You know how the Red Sox just, said? Just, it's long. It's too.
I needed a little more energy. Needed KG. Needed a former player.
I think they could have done that in 20 minutes.
Needed a former teammate.
I think they could have capped it.
The speeches were a little too long.
Yep.
No one seemed to have a real focus as to what they really wanted to talk about. I don't know. That was just okay.
Pierce even had trouble.
Even Pierce.
Yeah.
He was okay. Probably one of the better public speeches he's given. I mean, if you remember the one on opening night, when they put the banner up, oh man, was that a train wreck.
Those things are tough, though, because everybody wanted to go to that game for that reason. And you want to give them something, so you don't want to make it too short. You don't want to make all these people spend all this money and go out of their way to go to this game and give them a 15-minute ceremony.
How about a half hour? Half hour is...
30 minutes sounds perfect.
It was an hour long.
I know. I agree. But at some point, you start talking, and then the next guy gets up talking. It's like, I got to talk at least as long as that guy. And it gets into rambling mode.
Energy. Need some energy.
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 Get it up a little bit.
Need some of that.
I'm with you.
Right?
A little Red Bull. I'm all going to take some Red Bull before they go talk. Drink some Red Bull. Let's go. Fire it up.
More football discussion on the way on a show that was promised to be chock full of football, according to @ScottZolak on Twitter. Interesting offseason for a guy like, let's say, John Elway, or any team that needs a quarterback, because there are a lot of options, including a new option that will hit the market after a grievance was won yesterday in the NFL. We'll touch on that story coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Yeah, I took care of that, Jim. Don't worry about it. Red Sox working out in Fort Myers, getting ready for the season. Their first game is an exhibition against the Huskies on Thursday afternoon. Meanwhile, it's NBA All-Star Weekend. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, both competing in the Rising Stars game tonight. Bruins headed out for Vancouver today, where they begin a West Coast road trip starting tomorrow night. In golf, Tiger Woods returned to the course at the Genesis Open Riviera, Pacific Palisades, California. He is currently 7 strokes off the lead after posting a 1-over par 72 yesterday in the opening round. Your leader, Patrick Cantlay, is 5-under after the first round. He's 1-under through 3 holes today. Tiger doesn't tee off until later this afternoon. Headlines are brought to you by Bill DeLuca, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild, Bertrand, and the unexpected.
How's his butt look?
Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read.
Hit it, so.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight.
If you're a team that needs a quarterback this offseason, right?
Yep.
You have a bunch of options, do you not?
You do. Yeah, and I always...
A lot of different paths you can take.
I always scratch my head. And I'm like, why is Kirk Cousins... Why is he so expensive? Why does he make so much money? Why do they keep tagging him? Will you stack Kirk Cousins up against the rest of this list? I think he's the best in the list. And well, that's why he makes the money.
I'm with you on that. I agree. The guy can play.
Like, that's when's he going to get his? If Garoppolo's getting his, when's he... This guy supposedly is going to blow Garoppolo's deal out of the water.
So just for the sake of the conversation, let's put ourselves... let's make ourselves the Denver Broncos.
Sure.
Okay? And you're John Elway, who needs a quarterback. And there's a lot of teams that are in the position of needing a quarterback. But let's say you're the Broncos, right? You've got the opportunity to try and draft a quarterback. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. Ooh. You could try and pay Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
You could go after Case Keenum.
If
you could pick up the phone and call the Philadelphia Eagles and say, hey, Philly, we got a deal. We want Nick Foles to be our next quarterback. We want to make him our starter, and we want him to come to Denver.
Yeah.
And you could try and swing a trade for him. You could now also try and sign A.J. McCarron, who won a grievance against his team, and that means he will now be an unrestricted free agent. McCarron will be eligible to be out there and in the market and ready to get paid. He's 27 years old. He filed the grievance saying that the Bengals should have taken him off the non-football injury list, the NFI list, during training camp, which was back in 2014, his rookie season. The Bengals kept him on the NFI list with a shoulder injury. They didn't activate him until December 9th, and because of that, he didn't get credit for the service time he needed to have an accrued season, which is 6 regular season games are needed, so. So he went to the, arbitrator, and they had it out, and they went over it, and he proved that he was healthy enough to be active and should have been active, and that should have counted as his rookie season, and therefore he should be eligible to hit the market. They agreed. He's now a free agent. Add him to the list of guys. What's the best option? I think we kind of gave that away. I think the best option is Kirk Cousins, because I think he's, at this point in time, right now, the best quarterback who requires nothing but you to pay him.
He's the most solid. He's the most consistent. He puts up Romo-type numbers. He's kind of that gunslinger. I think he's intense. I think he's very well prepared. You look at some of the notes that he's taken over the years and how he talks about the game. I understand now why they pay him. And I think he's got the balls to sit in the pocket and take hits and throw the ball. He's not afraid. Kirk Cousins plays at a high level, and he think he's done it enough consistently now to where he can work this type of contract. I'd roll the dice more with him. And you look at a team like Denver. Denver's close, right? They get the 2 best corners in the league. They get a good defense. You still have Demaryius Thomas, Manny Sanders, good backs. You got a good tight end. That guy elevates. You know, he's better than Manning. Manny put up great numbers, right, but from a pure thrower standpoint, Cousins can fire it, man.
What's the second best thing to do? And that, to me, is where things get really interesting. Number one, I think people will find whatever they think is the best option pretty quickly. They'll arrive at that point quickly.
Right. See, Denver, you got to look at yourself as what are we as a roster? We're a veteran. We're a veteran.
I don't think they're that
team.
Good, by the way. I think you're overrating them.
Who?
The Broncos.
No, I think.
I don't think they're close.
But I don't think they're close, but I think you got to look at your roster makeup from a veteran standpoint. Like, they are a veteran-type team.
I think they're headed for full rebuild.
I don't think they want to draft a guy and start rebuilding, because then you really lose a window with the guys you're paying.
Sorry, I should rephrase that. Not a rebuild, but a full retooling.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
There's going to be a lot
of moving
pieces.
Who's
there?
The offensive coordinator?
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't think they're blowing it up and going, 1-15 and then starting over.
But
no,
I don't think they want to say, hey, we want to draft a guy and play a rookie. No.
No, I don't think they do want to do that. And I don't think anybody really wants to do that.
I mean, unless you pick one of the top 2 guys, I mean, you already had the guy.
So what's number 2? I would say that the number 2 option in all this is to call the Eagles and make a trade for Foles.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I do not believe it's A.J. McCarron.
I don't either.
A.J. McCarron, to me, is such an unknown still.
He's a... Oh, I don't even know what to term it.
Oh, let me fill the time with this. It's something that... it's someone that Jim Louth is taking a victory lap on because he skipped the Senior Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Senior Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo is a starter in the NFL before A.J. McCarron.
And Zoe hammered me saying, oh, he doesn't need the Senior Bowl. Everyone knows what he can do.
No, his stock fell. His stock fell, and his excuse was related to the arm.
He's a pompous guy, too.
What are you
He's
doing?
A cocky guy.
That doesn't bother me.
He's got a little attitude to him.
Who?
A.J. McCarron.
Oh. Yeah.
Can he play, though? Can he play at this level?
I think he's a good game manager. It's just like, do you want to pay that guy and have him put games and teams on his back? See, I don't think he's that guy. I think he's got to be on a great team. He played on a great team in college.
I'd be willing to give him a shot, but I'm also not blowing him away with a huge contract.
No. Look at what the Bears did. Look at the trouble the Bears got in with Mike Glennon.
He would be best.
Glennon was a full season starter, though, for Tampa.
Yeah.
He had experience.
Yeah, but you look at him, he's saying,
you've got something to go on, at least. If you're
A.J.
McCarron
over Glennon.
If you're A.J. McCarron and you're his agent, you know what you should be trying to do? Angle for a 1-year deal somewhere.
Yeah.
Angle for a short-term deal that pays him decent money, upfront money, cash, bonuses, all of that, and then... Or even a 2-year deal. Something in the short range where he's going to have a chance to actually prove that he's worth the big dollars that a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo just got. Because he's not going to command a contract like that. No way anybody's going to want to pay him. George in Medford has a thought on this very player. Wow. George, go ahead.
What's up, Joe?
What's up, George?
How are you, Beetle?
Good.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I think the Patriots ought to give him a look. Bring him in. It'll solve your backup quarterback problem instantly. You don't have to take a gamble on a fourth or fifth rounder. You can still grab a fourth or fifth rounder.
Yeah, but he wants to start.
I know
he's going to start.
That's the problem. That's the caveat. But he's a Saban guy, and I think under Belichick and Brady for a season, it might be able to fine tune him. Just a guess.
I don't hate the idea. I just don't think he's going to be willing to do
it. No, he's not. He's not going to take it. Let's bring in Kirk Cousins. Let's bring in Kirk Cousins.
That's the only caveat.
See if he wants to play backup.
George, don't hate your idea, but I just don't think the player is going to be going for it. And the ball's in his court. Unrestricted free agent. He can go somewhere where he knows he's going to start.
Yeah.
Real tough sell for the Patriots to a guy who's 27 and trying to prove that he can be a starter in this league. I don't think he wants to be waiting around 2 or 3 years to do it. 617-779-0985. We roll on here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kirk Cousins? That's what Josh in New Hampshire has. What do you got, Josh?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Living up here, you know, learning to be a Patriots fan, but I'm a diehard Skins fan.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the happiest about the trade, but I want to ask you guys are talking about Denver rebuilding. What are your thoughts on Cousins ending up in Jacksonville?
Ooh, I don't love that, given that Jacksonville, I think, is a decent team. They just don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys on that one. And as Patriots being my second favorite team living up here, you know, for the past few years, I don't want to see him go there. Part of me wants to see him end up in Cleveland. But
I can't believe you gave Alex Smith what you gave him. I just can't believe it. I can't believe they guaranteed $70 million to that guy.
I feel like they were worried because Cousins was pretty much put out the door and they had to do something. And Alex Smith is
going to commit $70 million as opposed to commit to the other guy that actually could throw the ball.
Do you think? Here's what I want to know. You're a diehard Skins fan. Do you think the Skins will go through with the tag?
As a fan of the Skins and watching Kirk Cousins develop over the years, I would hope that, because he doesn't have any animosity towards the team, I would hope that they would do the right thing and let him go.
Well, not only that, I just think it's dicey business.
Yeah.
If you go ahead and you put the tag on him,
you've already guaranteed another guy $70 million.
Everybody knows you have to trade him. Everyone knows the only reason you're trading him is to – the only reason you're tagging him is to trade him.
Right.
You could sit there in those conversations and be like, well, no, I'm not giving you what you want. I'm not giving you the whatever pick it is they're looking for. Nope. Not going to do it. What are you going to do? You going to trade him to somebody else?
You're talking about
– I just don't think that market will develop the way they think it will.
You're talking to a guy in Cousins who's going to blow Garoppolo's deal out of the water. We're sitting there, we're doing Radio Row. And he's being brought around and talking to people, and he was in line there at Shake Shack.
He was there every day. Kirk Cousins was at Radio Row, I think, like five straight days.
He was in line at Shake Shack by himself. Nobody's talking to him. He was
Where
in the elevator.
He's not a distinctive-looking individual.
Was I with you?
But that's he was sitting outside the Not Done Network.
Yeah, he was sitting in the food court, just sitting at a table with four guys. No one knew it was him. He was there like every day.
That's the most expensive quarterback? It's weird.
Because he was at the food court? You think Tom Brady's never gone to a food court?
I don't know.
He was at the food court.
My point is, you brought Russ Wilson through and there was a ton of people there.
Wait a minute. He's at the food court. I'm at the food court. I should make that money.
No, but I mean, you saw Russ Wilson's following. If they brought Matt Ryan through, there'd be people everywhere. I mean, just like, okay, everybody's like, oh, it's Kirk Cousins.
He brought up Cleveland. Cleveland's an interesting one. What do you do if you're Cleveland? Do you draft a quarterback or do you sign a quarterback? You got the number one and the four pick. Do you sign a guy and then go take like Barkley with the number one pick and then take like whoever the next best defensive player is?
Saquon Barkley.
Pick?
That's right, Jim.
If I were them, I would sign a quarterback. I would try and sign a guy and then I would draft.
Like Cousins and Barkley combo?
I would draft other players. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I'd go free agent if I were them. What if, free agent quarterback.
What if you go, wait, here's an interesting one. Like, they have a good asset in the second round. They could say to the Redskins, hey, if you tag him, we'll give you our second round pick. Redskins be like, okay, all right, done. Wouldn't Cleveland love that? I mean, that's a far better bet to do that, and you still have your high picks.
Yep.
You got to give up a guy and pay him, though. You got to give up a draft pick and pay the guy.
As opposed to drafting another quarterback that fails, and we can add to the long list
number
of 17. Failures in Cleveland,
I'd
be willing to do that. Given Cleveland's history, I'd be willing to do a little bit of an overpayment. That might be one of the teams that the Redskins are targeting as they think about tagging Kirk Cousins. Jim in Beverly. Hi, Jim.
Jimmy.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys heard Jimmy Stewart's take on what happened with Butler yesterday.
No, what was his take?
So he said, and he gave it, you know, a little, like he had some inside info, that when they were laying out the game plan in a meeting, he wasn't starting. And he got all worked up. He was yelling at Belichick's kid. And actually, they said he was trying to hold them back. And it was right before the game, and that's why he didn't play. I don't know. It makes sense.
Did Jimmy present this theory as if it were something new or his own?
Nah, like he had inside information, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
Wait, did you say Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, Jay Stu.
Yeah. I have no idea what sources Jay Stu is using, but this theory was floated out there relatively early
on. Like 2 days after the game.
Oh, I don't even think it was that long. I think it was day after. I have no idea.
Jimmy.
No clue.
I don't think Jimmy knows either. I don't think he has that inside info.
When Jimmy knows, you know Jimmy knows. I didn't feel like Jimmy knew.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
And you didn't think it was just a theory?
He's thinking. I think he's outwardly thinking with some sort of knowledge.
Corey on the North Shore. Corey.
How's it going, guys?
Hi.
Corey.
Hi.
All right. First off, hats off to the local boy, Ryan Donato. You know, probably grew up watching Miracle on repeat. Now he's breathing life back into Team USA. You know, by the way, he's a Bruin.
Yeah, it was a huge patriotic moment against was it Slovenia or Slovakia?
What are you talking about?
Which one did they blow the 2-goal lead against the other night in the final 5 minutes and 50 seconds that necessitated the win over the other Slav country? It doesn't have quite the same feel. They're going up
against Slavia,
the athletes representing Russia tomorrow, because Russia's not even officially allowed to compete in these Olympics. I gotta tell you, I've caught myself watching. I watched some of the half pipe for both the men's and women. I thought that was good. I was watching a little skeleton last night.
Skeleton Super G last
night. Yeah, I watched a little Super G last night. Man, to say something's missing this time around, severe understatement.
Isn't it sad that people are talking about going to like the extreme game type stuff to watch the Olympics?
Well, I mean,
seriously,
that 2-goal performance last night, that was good, excellent.
To beat Slovakia. Yeah,
I can't invent enthusiasm.
Am I still on here?
Yeah, you're still here. Yeah.
All right. No, really, the reason I'm calling is just this is about that Malcolm Butler situation. Let's just all think back to that pivotal Steelers game. Eric Rowe comes up with that huge play. Roethlisberger fakes a spike. No one knows what the hell is going on. Eric Rowe comes up, makes the play. They get the interception. I don't know what happened with Malcolm Butler. All I'm saying is that confidence was very high on Eric Rowe going into the playoffs, which he played a lot. And then in the Super Bowl, he played even more.
How many points did the other team score? 42, right?
41.
So a man that started 17 games, played 96.7% of your defensive snaps throughout the course of the 2017-18 season, did not play one single defensive snap as you were getting smoked.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Math ain't right, folks. Sorry for the French, but my math ain't right. I don't understand it. I don't. It's not football to me. That's not a football package thing. I'm sorry. I don't know. Yeah, Rowe made the play in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That was Antonio Brown when he made the play. I don't know that. That's Antonio's route. You know? And it was like their fourth receiver. Yeah, you got the arm in there, left arm. Harmon made the pick. It's a nice play. So that was on that play. Says, you know what? We ever get to the Super Bowl, he's going to play every snap. Every snap. Go through the skill set again for me for Eagles. Aguilar, Torrey Smith, the journeyman, and Alshon Jeffery.
Why do you keep putting down the receivers? I don't get this part of it. You've been doing this for a week now.
Yeah.
Like, Nelson Aguilar was a good player coming out of the
game. He was a good player, played on the outside. He revived his career playing in the slot.
What is he, third-year guy?
Yeah,
he's his second third year. Whatever. He had like 60-plus catches this year.
You see those?
He was good at USC. He was
really, I just keep going back to those.
He was a high pick. What number was he?
To what that caller just called, the Pittsburgh wide receivers. Let's go look at them. Look at Miami's. I'll take Miami's over the Eagles any day.
Alshon Jeffery's an elite receiver. Yes. Aguilar was a mid-first-round pick.
Yeah, he was a decent pick out of USC. He was good there, too. And obviously has some skills. And Torrey Smith, I mean, he doesn't suck either.
He's a straight guy.
He got a big contract coming. Field. Okay, right. Well, they all have sort of different skill sets.
Yeah.
What's Brandon Cooks?
I'm just saying, across the board, man. I mean, against
I don't think
Atlanta.
They didn't get beat by bums.
Yeah, I'm looking at Houston. I'm going down the list. Look, Carolina's. You know, when they came in here and smoked you. Like, you played against better wide receiver sets, but that's what Malcolm played. Right. But then all of a sudden, okay, whatever. Philly's great.
Philly!
Dilly-dilly!
No.
I said dilly-dilly!
Nope. No.
You say dilly-dilly? I say dilly-dily.
No.
Oh, there,
headlines.
Kids. I said
headlines. Cue up the Josie.
Dilly-dilly! So